Thank you for being with us. Carl Hart, thanks for joining us from Columbia University. Juan Gonzalez will be speaking in Seattle tonight.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Muertos PDX 9th annual Dia de los Muertos celebration on Sunday, November 2nd at noon at Adios Cinema in Portland. Muertos PDX will be hosting its annual Dia de los Muertos celebration with musical performances, a children's story time, Calavera decorating stations, mariachi, Katrina's traditional Mexican cuisine, and much more. A portion of this year's proceeds will benefit Oregon por Mexico for earthquake relief in Mexico. Again, that's Muertos PDX 9th annual Dia de los Muertos celebration on Sunday, November 2nd at noon at Adios Cinema, 226 Southeast Madison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under community events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of KBOO at the Clinton screening of Romeo is Bleeding on Thursday, November 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Romeo is Bleeding is a documentary that follows Dante Clark, a young poet transcending the violence in his hometown of Richmond, California, by writing about his experiences. Dante and the like-minded youth of the city mount an urban adaptation of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, with the hope of starting a dialogue about violence in the city. PDX Poetic Justice's John Slaughter and his group of poets will be reading some of their works before the screening. Again, that's KBOO at the Clinton screening of Romeo is Bleeding on Thursday, November 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present David Barsamian, Resistance in the Age of Trump, on Sunday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Journalist, author, and activist David Barsamian will be speaking about the broad coalition in opposition to the Trump administration, which includes activists from a range of causes, progressive Democrats, and concerned Republicans. He'll be reflecting on the core issues at stake today and why so many people from such a range of identities and perspectives are challenging the administration. Again, that's KBOO Presents David Barsamian, Resistance in the Age of Trump, on Sunday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Thrill the World Portland on Saturday, October 28th at 3 p.m. at Irving Park in Portland. Thrill the World Portland, now in its 10th year, is a chance for zombies and people alike to take part in the classic dance from Michael Jackson's Thriller video. All ages and all abilities are welcome. Costumes are optional. Proceeds from the event will benefit KBOO Community Radio and Portland Tenants United. Again, that's Thrill the World Portland on Saturday, October 28th at 3 p.m. at Irving Park on the corner of Northeast 7th Avenue and Northeast Fremont Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Did you know that KBOO podcasts all our news and talk shows?
You can find the podcast on KBOO's website, kboo.fm, on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Just search for your favorite show and hit subscribe to get all the latest episodes downloaded to your favorite device.
Or search for KBOO on iTunes, Google Play to get all the KBOO podcasts.
Did you know that everything you hear on KBOO Radio is now archived on the KBOO website? Music, news, public affairs, it's all there for you to listen on demand. And podcast. Look up your favorite KBOO shows by name on iTunes or your favorite podcasting software. You can listen when you want, share a link to a program you heard on the radio. You can go to our website, kboo.fm, and click on audio. All the audio is there, and playlists for music shows are shown along with the audio recording, so you can follow along to find out the artists and titles of the songs that you hear. Again, it's all right there on kboo.fm, on iTunes, or the KBOO app.
This is Jeremy Scahill, author of Dirty Wars, and you're listening to KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM.
From every tyrant with an axe to grind, they could throw us in a dungeon, and we could only hope they'd change their mind. Then 800 years ago in England, the barons changed the game. They're making John introduce habeas corpus, and tyranny would never be the same. And that's why we're calling for equal rights and justice for all.
What would you have instead?
No, this is it.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio. This is Linda Olsen-Osterlund. The show that we are on is positively revolting. A little sorry for us coming on late. We've been trying very hard to reach the guests that I planned for Positively Revolting this morning, and something has gone awry, and we're not able to reach him. But the music that was playing was Andy Worthington from Britain, investigative journalist, author, campaigner, filmmaker, and musician. Probably the most important thing I can say about Andy is that he's written the most definitive book there is on Guantanamo. It's the Guantanamo File, the stories of the 774 detainees in America's illegal prison. That book is lauded by others who worked in trying to cover Guantanamo as really the definitive book that gives you an overall view and tells you the truth about as much as it can be dug up about each and every person who's been held at Guantanamo. So he's a great guest and we will have him on, but since he's not here right now, I want to go ahead and open the phone lines, let you call in and talk, but but let me give you the topic first. And this is Linda Olsen-Osterlund, in case I didn't say that earlier. I'm a little rattled because we've been trying so hard to get this going and something's awry, but I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what's been going on, and maybe you've heard it. If you listen to Democracy Now!, you've heard that the hunger strikers at Guantanamo have been, that there's a new policy that's come out of Trump, and they're no longer force-feeding some of them, and it appears just leaving them to die. That they are no longer doing force-feeding has been denied from the government, but four separate different prisoners who are hunger strikers through four separate attorneys have reported this change. And basically what's happened is they're being told, we're not going to force feed you anymore. And given that you're not force feeding, you're not going to get your regular medical monitoring that you got every day for this. Now, these are men that are very, very, very weak from sometimes years of hunger strike, and leaving them with no attention is certainly leaving them to die. There are big questions around this, and there's debate and controversy because, of course, they were resisting the force feeding, which has been very brutal. So let's talk about this issue. issue. And have you guys call in and tell us what you think about it. The other thing is, I just want to make sure that none of us are forgetting that there are still 41 men, at least it appears 26 of them, going to be there indefinitely. There are others who have funny kind of trials scheduled, those trials that aren't real trials, that don't offer real justice. But 15 of them do have those. And the demand, of course, is not to force feed them, but of course, attend to their health while they're there and go ahead and move forward to either charging them or releasing them. And if you're going to charge them, make sure that they can be healthy enough to be there. So the number to call in is 503-231-8187. I'm sorry that Lynn and Ani aren't here. They're going to be gone for the next 2 weeks after this. I know they let you know that. I always tune in to Positively Revolting to hear what new is going on there. But I'm here, and we're going to be talking about Guantanamo. We'll try again to reach Andy Worthington. He's a very reliable man, so I don't know what's happened with the phone, but we're going to go ahead and talk the topic. So if you're out there, pick up your phones, call us at 503-231-8187, and let's talk about Guantanamo, the hunger strikers, what should be done about the whole situation. I know for myself, I find it really hard to focus in on lots of things that I used to focus in on because there's so much going on, so many different areas of our, of our culture and our civilization are being changed every day and assaulted from, a bigoted neo-fascist white supremacist movement, of which Trump is in some way he's at very least a hidden spokesman for it, an outright spokesman for it. He pretends he's not white supremacist, but he makes it very clear to his base that he is. So, all of those kinds of things having us look at many different issues. And if you're like me, it's been hard for me to focus in and keep my attention on different things that I'm very interested in. I've always been interested in Guantanamo because I feel like it's completely abhorrent to imagine being, some of them have been there 15 years, to imagine being held in a prison with no charges and no thought of being able to get out. It's Orwellian. It's a future we don't want. It's something no government should ever do, and we have no real excuse for doing. So I want to hear from you about Guantanamo. Have you even been thinking about it? What do you think about it? What about this issue of the hunger strikers? I think that's a very important issue. The other issue we were going to be talking with Andy Worthington about is about the similarities and differences as the right has been rising both in the UK and here in the US, and of course huge rising opposition as well to the new fascist, the supposed alt-right. But one of the ways that regular working people are being attacked is through the housing crisis and international and local real estate in different countries. I understand the same thing is going on in London right now, and there's been lots of big protests about it. So that issue is one that we have in parallel, as well as, of course, the issue of how much is the state going to be allowed to clamp down on people in the name of protecting us from terrorism. That's something that has been going forward in both Britain and in France. And, of course, they'd like it to go more forward here. I just wanted to hear from him the details, because I think it's important for us to have a broader perspective than just the city we're in. So I want to ask you again, please give us a call. If you are out there and you want to talk about Guantanamo, please give us a call. Or actually, I'll take any other issues since we're not getting a lot of calls. We can start there. I apologize for the not having my guest available for you, but let's go forward with the morning and with the opportunity to hear from each other about what we think about these important issues. I'm going to ask to go to some music for a little bit. We can play a little bit of another song for you, and then come on back to the line. Call us at 503-231-8187.
marching on the battlefield. But most of them were born to bandit. They took them to a place outside the law, in a bay that they stole from Cuba. They said they had no rights at all. After all the torture and abuse, trying to make it go away, yeah. Whoa, 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 Guantanamo. Whoa, whoa, Guantanamo. Whoa, whoa, Guantanamo. Whoa, whoa, Guantanamo. Enhanced interrogation. They played the music as loud as it would go. In isolation and a sleep deprivation. When they broke them and they made them lie about themselves and their fellow prisoners, they had the nerve to hold their heads up high and call the shame and this disgrace a success. You cannot claim to respect the law. After all the torture and abuse, it's time to make it go away. Go, yeah. It's my time to move. Go, it's my time to move. Go, it's my time to move. Republicans resisted his plans, and he lacked the political will to do it. So as the years drag on and on, and the men still held get older and iller, endless imprisonment with a charge or trial, it's what it always was, a form of torture. Now the future's looking bleaker again, with Donald Trump and his dystopian view. We must tell him that there's no future for this place of torture and abuse, yeah. Glow, oh, it's Guantanamo. Glow, oh, it's Guantanamo. Glow, oh, it's Guantanamo. Glow, oh, it's Guantanamo. Glow, oh, it's Guantanamo.
Okay, we have one caller on the line. I believe it's Jane.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you, Jane? Thanks for calling in.
Well, I have some questions to, you know, you can verify if I understood this information correctly.
Sure.
It's my understanding that, you know, what it shouldn't be called force feeding, that it's being called force feeding, but what they were actually doing was using tubes that were medically inappropriate. They were too large for the, you know, the tubes where they normally put the feeding tube. They were larger than our body tube.
Yes.
And so it was a form of torture, and that, which is excruciatingly painful anytime you have something too large for whatever organ it is happen to be in there. And that those tubes then were put down. Then they put food down them, but they weren't feeding tubes. They weren't medically approved feeding tubes. They were enormous tubes for the body, and that they removed them each time and then reinserted them. So they were torturing them every time they put these tubes in and then put food down those. So
yes.
They weren't feeding tubes.
Yeah, they call them that, force feeding, but it's, yes, you're right. And I think the United Nations has it on a list of torturous force feeding. It is not allowed by international law, but the United States has been doing it in Guantanamo.
Right, and I think that maybe to clarify it somehow, to find a word to add to forced insertion of these large tubes. There's got to be a verbiage so people understand they weren't just force feeding them; they were actually torturing them with huge tubes for the body.
And sometimes they gave them. There have been reports from detainees or I'm going to call them prisoners. I hate that word detainee. They made it up to make it sound not so bad, and it is very bad. But I believe that that some of the prisoners. No, I'm not remembering what I was going to say. Sorry about that. But yes, it is force feeding. And I think that many of the prisoners have talked about that. I think there are people who have even, I know there was one rap artist and some other artists who had themselves force fed in solidarity with the Guantanamo prisoners who are being treated this way. And, you know, I'll throw it out there just to get it out there, because I have heard it is some people say, well, they said they wanted to die and they were going to, you know, go on a hunger strike. Let them go on, you know, stop feeding them. Let them die. Is that their wish? And others maybe with more compassion, well, if they want to die. But that's not what's happening. This isn't to be acceding to their wishes and to take good care of them as they on their path towards not eating. This is an attempt to force them off their hunger strike, but it's being done to people who are so very unhealthy. It's not, you know, there are at least a few that there's a question of whether, how long can they survive with the treatment they're receiving. And by the way, Guantanamo isn't making it public. There's no way that this would be out or we could find out about this if it hadn't been for the attorneys for four different ones of the detainees there who found out about it and brought it forward and got in organization with each other. It was the organization from Britain called Reprieve that broke the story. And that was because they have two clients there at Guantanamo, a Pakistani man named Ahmed Rabbani and Khalid Kasim, a Yemeni. Who both have been hunger striking for a long time. So yeah, I think it's a very good point you make. It can sound like it's trying to take care of them, but it's not trying to make sure they don't die. It's not that.
Yeah, it's not the kind of feeding that they give in a hospital.
No, and with the tenderness of care that they would be giving in a similar situation. So thank you, Jane. I appreciate that. We've got a couple other callers on the line. Was there anything else?
Not that I can think of. There's probably is, but thank you.
Thank you very much, Jane. And now we have Ted. Ted, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for calling in, Ted.
Hi. I just have a question that I don't know the answer to. I lost track of it. And it's, what is the legal basis by which we hold these people without charge, and whatever happened to habeas corpus?
Well, there's no legal basis for us keeping them by international law. And it is illegal internationally, and so there's no legal basis for it. The justification is they said they wanted to do it. They said they were going to do it, and they began to do it. They were already holding many of the first prisoners in prisons in other parts of the world, but they called for a huge number. They basically put out the word that they were going to get all of the Arabs who were in Afghanistan, meaning all of the people who came from other countries into Afghanistan and in Pakistan. So people were fleeing Afghanistan, and many of the people were picked up in Pakistan because they were sold. There were huge bounties being given. So if you can ever get to read Andy Worthington's book, The Guantanamo Files, he's really done in-depth research on all of the different men that have been locked there, and very few were even anything we would consider criminal individuals. So there's no legal justification, and habeas corpus was thrown out, I think, right along with Obama, when Obama said that we can assassinate people, including American citizens, anywhere in the world without any form of due process. Yeah, there went habeas corpus right there. They haven't extended that to regular people, but...
Doesn't that seem remarkable coming from a constitutional law professor?
Yeah, it did. I think we have to learn
our own constitution. I mean, yes. Don't we have protection? So you say Obama threw out habeas corpus. Does that mean we have no protection as citizens within the United States? I mean, can we be arrested now without charge and held indefinitely?
What do you think?
Well,
I'm serious. I meant, what do you think? I think only when they get to a stage when they want to, and I think they'll pick off the marginalized first.
Well, is that happening to U.S. citizens within the United States? Are there cases where people have been held for tens of years without charge?
Not that I know of. But I will say that, I don't know if you heard, here in Portland, there was a demonstration at the ICE Center on McAdam and Bancroft, Southwest McAdam and Bancroft, where they hold people who are being scheduled for deportation who they think should be deported. And
That's horrible.
Yeah, and there was a demonstration about a week ago, and some of the demonstrators locked themselves together so that they couldn't be moved easily with what turned out to be, I think, PVC, a plastic tubes, and their hands were bound in between them, and it took a lot of work to get them out, but it wasn't like metal clamp down. And the police, Portland police, along with Homeland Security was there, but I believe it was Portland police who did this. They hooded and ear muffled the people who were sitting down before they began to take it apart. They said it was for their good because they wanted to protect them from sparks from the equipment that had to be used to get the tubes off. But there was no electric equipment used. There were snippers used to cut them off. It took them a little while. It was tedious. It's duct tape and plastic, but it wasn't. So the police lied about that. And I believe that that image of hooded, and you can go to Oregon Live to see photos of that if you want. Go back to I believe it was a week ago Thursday night that this happened. So they're taking stuff from Guantanamo and starting to practice it here. I see that as a clear threat to everybody who wants to resist the government.
Yeah, well, we are under threat.
Yes.
Well, thank you for the show.
Well, and thank you for calling, Ted. I really appreciate it. We have another caller on the line. Annalisa. Are you there, Annalisa? I'm not hearing her. Annalisa, are you anywhere there? Okay, I think that means we have phone lines open. So the number again, let me give it to you, is 503-231-8187. Jane and Ted have gotten us off to a good start with good comments and good questions. We're talking about Guantanamo. We're talking about the hunger strikers and the change from coming down from the Trump administration that they will no longer, quote, force feed them. What it has meant is that they're receiving no medical care to help them transition, nothing. And many of them are way down, like under 100 pounds. The chance of them dying is there. I believe we have another caller on the line. No, not yet. So once that number again is 503-231-8187. The way that this story broke was from an organization called Reprieve, which is against the death penalty in general, but it has been one of the relentless organizations fighting for the Guantanamo prisoners, as has the Center for Constitutional Rights here in the United States and other organizations. But that's because of the two clients of his, both hunger strikers. One's from Yemeni and one is from Pakistan. Neither of these were people that you would think of as dangerous if you met them or if you looked at their history, and yet most of them have been tortured and held for a very long time. One of the things that I was glad to hear about a year and a half ago, and I had done many stories on it, was that Omar Khadr had been finally returned to his home and made public statements and was doing better. But we have 41 people sitting in Guantanamo, and the government is hoping that we will just forget them, that we will allow that to go away, that we won't make a stink about it, that it won't be a big enough stink about it. And yet I think if you don't, many of you in the audience, I know, are activists and put a lot of your time and energy into activism. And this is just one more of those issues, but it's a core one because it comes down to, as the man asked, what happened to habeas corpus? That's the right, that's like when they arrest you, they have to make proof. They have to bring the corpse to the court, to the courts, basically. They say you killed a man, prove it. They have to prove it. But this has thrown all of that out, and I do believe they will use it on us. It was no mistake that hooding and putting on the mufflers. And, they did that to Guantanamo prisoners when they were becoming Guantanamo prisoners, when they took them from Bagram or other black sites and took them to Guantanamo, they put them put these earphones on and these headgear on and laid them down in unheated cargo planes almost and took them over. And it's considered a form of torture internationally. It's sensory deprivation. It's intended to disturb, upset, distress, cause fear, cause claustrophobia, and that they are using that. And that certainly was a test balloon, that they were using that here in Portland. I don't think was an idiosyncrasy of the Portland police. I do believe that because Homeland Security interacts with all the police around any kind of protest at federal sites, that's a federal idea, and that means it can come to states away from here as well. So give us a call. Tell us what you think about Guantanamo. Tell us what you think we should be doing around this issue. I'm Linda Olson Osterlund, by the way, and you are listening to Positively Revolting on KBOO Portland. I'll go ahead and let you know what's going to be coming up this morning on KBOO at 9, One Land, Many Voices. We'll hear from the creator of the new film, Radiance of Resistance, told through the eyes of two young Palestinian journalists, plus Algerian-American cartoonist Khalid Bendid. At 10, it's Threshold Shift, a sound artist in residency project. That sounds exciting, something unexpected too, so be sure and tune in. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, and 11 on Pacific Underground, musician Matt Dorian, formerly known as Snowblind Traveler, talks about his music and experiences as a Filipino-American, plus as an in-studio performance. KBOO is your independent source for news and entertainment. Please become a member at kboo.fm and click on donate. And thank you, of course, to all of you who did that at our last fun drive. I believe we have one more person on. Nope. I see the phone ring in the other room, so I keep thinking there's a person calling in to get on the air, but people are calling for other issues. So once again, the topic has been Guantanamo. I'll let you bring up any topic, and we can relate it to this. And that's actually one of the things that I'm discovering, and I think all is out there in the activist community quite large, is the intersectionality, you know. So it's no accident that they do stuff in Guantanamo and then it shows up here. And so when you ask the question, well, they couldn't do that to us, could they? Couldn't they? Yeah, I think perhaps they could. And we do have another caller on the line. Thomas, thanks for calling.
Yes, I'm not familiar with the Guantanamo, but I know there's two people there that all they want is just a trial. Isn't that what they want?
Some of them, yes, they want a trial, absolutely.
Yes, so, I mean, so the Trump administration, instead of them, you know, stop feeding them or, you know, have them just die, all they want is just a fair trial. And I think overall for the taxpayers, isn't that better? Because if they go to trial, I mean, obviously it costs money, but if they're found not guilty, then they'll be released and all that taxpayer money that we paid for that Guantanamo location,
would it save money for the government to just allow them to die rather than do a trial?
No, to do a trial, and then if two of them, you know, say out of 10, two of them are free, then they're free. Then we don't have to be paying all that money to take care of those two people.
Yes.
Wouldn't that make more sense?
It would make more sense, but the problem is they really don't want to bring these men to trial. That's why some of them have been there for 15 years, because most of them were tortured very severely. And testimony that was gotten while under torture or from other people who were tortured, you know, isn't generally legal in courts. And so they've set up these other kinds of courts, these reviews that they do of their case, and then other courts for trials on Guantanamo, but they don't have the same due process rights. You are not able to look at the list of people that are going to be accused against you. You're not allowed to call witnesses even at those if you're the prisoner. So I think the truth is they don't want any trials where any information about what's actually happened from our military and our intelligence services gets out there in the courtroom.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yep, they want to keep them silent. The book Guantanamo Files, and I believe you could probably get it through a library if you don't want to purchase it, it really goes in depth. And as more information came in over the years, it's been annotated. And you can go to Andy, I should give everybody this website. It's Andy Worthington, and I'll spell that andywarthington.co.uk. If you put that into your search engine, it'll take you to there, and you can go through the archives, and you can find, so when information started coming out on some of the people, I think some files that the United States government had been released finally, he began to fill in the picture about many more of the prisoners. And so you can really go to that book and go to his website. I mean, if you don't go to the book, go to the website and look up what has been going on with all of those prisoners. So they don't want to do trials. And most of these people were things like a truck driver or looking for a job in Afghanistan, or, you know, very few of them even ever went to a training camp. There are a few. There was a recent trial of a man, and because they wanted him to testify against others, and he finally decided to do that, and he testified. Who knows if it's honest or not, because he's getting out as a result of it. But he, you know, he went to trial on his own behest, and that, once again, these trials are not what we would expect of a normal trial.
So the only reason he got a trial was because he was going to testify against other people.
Yes.
Because given to him the right.
Yes. And in other trials, when they've used other prisoners, those prisoners also have a history of torture. So what they say about another prisoner is, of course, not legal, because they were tortured to get that information. And a person tortured will say anything. I mean, pretty much around the world, the experts say you torture a person, they'll say whatever you want them to say.
Yeah.
And I would. I mean, I figure none of us are superhuman. Well,
so what else is there? Anyone doing anything? Is just doing to kind of, you know, put more light on that. I mean, like WikiLeaks, they always. I know he's a bad person. He leaks stuff, but can someone use that? Like, hey, WikiLeaks, can you get more data out of here? Because more data means we're able to see more.
Well, yeah, and I think Andy Worthington and Reprieve and also the Center for Constitutional Right are the organizations that have been working on that. And they do hold demonstrations. And right now, with this hunger strike, I was going to have Andy tell you about it, but there are many celebrities. Most of them aren't names that I recognize from here, but are celebrities in Europe and UK who have either fasted for a day or fasted for 5 days in solidarity with the hunger strikers who've had their tubes removed. And so that's just been in the last couple of weeks. There's been more of that activity. But getting coverage is hard. You know, there's only two things that have written about this. The New York Times did an article about this change in policy to no longer force feed the hunger strikers. And all they did was take the government statement that said, no, that was not true, that they were still feeding them. And then the government said a few more things. The only other mainstream or national, you know, media that has covered it has been Newsweek, and they did one article, and it was a good article. It's worth looking up, and it is linked to at andyworthington.co.uk. The Newsweek article had the words directly printed, the words of two of the prisoners and what they wanted. But that's the only broad coverage. So even when you do a demonstration, even when you starve yourself, the mainstream media, which is very much owned by and large by the same people who run our governments, they don't cover it. They do what they can not to cover it.
Yes, I know, like last week or 2 weeks ago, one of the lawyers called about one of the guys that he was helping.
Uh-huh.
I think it was a taxi driver, and he was, you know, he's underweight or, you know, 100 pounds and all that. So are these people just going to die and we're just going to forget about them? Was that how that kind of works?
I sure hope not. But the longer they don't feed them or give them care, that's a possibility. And so, I don't want to be one of those who sits here and watches them slowly die in a prison that our government is running with our tax dollars. We do have another caller, so I'm going to let you go. And we have Andy. Andy Worthington's on the line.
Hi.
Andy, that was my problem. I ran back through some of my emails and saw that I said 9 a.m. in one of them, your time, instead of, 9 a.m. our time, instead of saying 8 a.m.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I was not there until now, but I'm here now. So
it's so nice to hear you. I'm so glad you are there.
Yes, well, likewise, Linda. I was sorry. I was looking forward to the whole show with you.
I'm so glad that you are on, though. So for the audience, this is Andy Worthington. He is the author of The Guantanamo Files, the stories of the 774 prisoners in America's illegal prison. He's also a co-director of a documentary, Outside the Law, Stories from Guantanamo, which is a very good one if you want to get to be able to see the faces and hear the voices of people who have been detained or been imprisoned in Guantanamo. He's written three books. And you got to hear his music earlier. Andy, you didn't know we were playing your music this morning a couple times.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I love that you're a musician and that your music is apropos politically. So let's go ahead and get, you know, I've given them an overview that there are people being no longer, quote, force-fed, and that the way it looks is like the government is willing to let them die. And you can fill us in a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the extent of my understanding as well. It's certainly what happened. According to a number of prisoners who had been on the hunger strike, was that they said that the way that they were treated changed from September the 20th. There was a new policy. So previously, when they lost one-fifth of their body weight, if they refused to eat, then they were force-fed. Now, of course, force-feeding is an absolutely horrible thing
brutal.
To do to anybody, and it's a form of, you know, recognized as being akin to torture or a form of torture. But the alternative, of course, is not really much better, that the authorities let prisoners starve to death. Now, you know, medical ethics say that a mentally competent prisoner must be allowed to starve to death if that's what they want to do. My problem with Guantanamo would be that these are not people who've been through any kind of legal process.
Yeah, there's been no assessment of what the damage
them to die is unacceptable. And really, you know, what they have been wanting all along and still want is actually to be put on trial or to be released, not to be held in this endless purgatory of imprisonment without charge or trial, which is entirely right on their part, because of course this is the great shame of Guantanamo, that people are held without any form of due process.
You know, I agree with you. And Andy, I did notice that, you know, there have been different celebrities that have been fasting in solidarity since Reprieve and announced this change and got that out into there. And I believe you had one of your MPs actually fast for a day. Is that correct?
Well, yeah.
That's like one of our congressmen, right?
The Labour Party. So if you imagine whoever would be the number two in the Democratic Party, that's who went on a hunger strike for a day. And it did prompt me to, you know, to lament, not for the first time, that the subject of Guantanamo has, throughout its entire horrible history, which is nearly 16 years now, found it very hard, you know, people trying to get it closed have found it very hard to attract American celebrities in any field who are prepared to actually really properly put some time into complaining about how terrible Guantanamo is, and, you know, and then absence of, you know, any elected representatives who will be prepared to do the kind of thing that not only did Tom Watson do recently for the prisoners that are still there, but the many, many dozens of MPs who took a stand in the case of Shaka Armour, the last British resident in Guantanamo.
Yeah, there was. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering his name, but there was one musician that actually had himself force-fed and streamed it in support with Guantanamo from here in the United States. But you're right, there's you hear very little from celebrities here. I think that the government here, the oligarchy, however you want to talk about it, the ruling elite, have done a pretty good job of saying that if you and any, you know, we would taint you with that you're supporting terrorists, that you want to release terrorists.
Yeah. Well, I suppose what it is, actually, Linda, is that the center, if you like, I don't mean politically the center, but the center of American life is a place where far more of the U.S. populace than I would say in other countries has completely bought the notion that the United States is this incredibly wonderful place, that anybody who does anything to the United States must be, you know, the worst of the worst. And that narrative is you know, quite durable. And, you know, and the sad truth, of course, is that, you know, America doesn't uphold these ideals that it claims to uphold. And Guantanamo is a really shocking example of that. But, it, you know, as you know from us talking over the years, you know, I kind of got into this story and persisted with it, not just because these were human beings who were being dehumanized, but because the very principle of not being imprisoned without charge or trial is so crucial. And, you know,
and it certainly empowers other authorities around the world to go ahead and use the same.
Yeah. And that, you know, and
not that some of them wouldn't on their own anyway, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that it has been happening, and I don't know if there are any detailed studies of it. There's not one that comes to mind. It would be interesting to see if someone's analyzing how much various regimes are using what the U.S. has been doing since 9/11 to justify what they do. Like you say, they may well have been doing it anyway, but the fact that they can then hold up America and say, you know, we're only doing what the Americans are doing.
I think
is a big thing.
I did just get the name of that rap artist. It's Yasiin Bey, a.k.a. Mos Def.
That's
Mos
right.
Def,
yes,
that, he's a rap artist, and he had himself force-fed, live streaming it so people could see what it really meant. That's a really courageous...
a very powerful thing for him to do, actually.
Yes.
I mean, that went out to millions of people. But unfortunately, you know, the rest of the rap community didn't join him.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a sad thing. I mean, it's...
Well, I think what we have to do is change the, you know, change the dialogue around people who resist to not be, to not accept that you need to buy into that, you know, this is a place where we locked up a few terrorists and we have to hold them that way. We do have another caller, Andy, so I'm going to go ahead and go to them. It is Robin, I believe. Welcome, Robin.
Hi, thanks. I just wanted to respond to a call earlier around if there are black sites here or have American citizens ever been held. And I just wanted to point out that there was a black site in Chicago called Holman.
That's
and
right.
And I think Captain Burgess is his name. And it was, and it, I think it had been started in the 80s. But Captain Burgess was one that, the same person that was training in Abu Ghraib, I believe, or the Guantanamo, and I'm sure your caller can, or your guest can clarify. But I wanted to point that out, that it's already been happening to black and brown folks in Chicago.
You're
and probably
right.
Elsewhere.
You're right, and I had forgotten that as one of those, and of course it was. And you know what I found very interesting is the show The Good Wives actually did an episode where one of her clients was locked up there because that story, that show took place in Chicago. And they didn't pull a lot of punches about it either, about how threatening it was and how much the government was trying to keep it secret. So yes, we do have at least one black site that has been open, you know, exposed. So I'm kind of assuming there would be more around our nation that have not yet been exposed.
And the same torture techniques were the same ones that they used on folks here.
That's right. I think there were over 30 different men that were found to be tortured by Berg, basically. Is that right?
I thought it was hundreds.
Oh, maybe it was.
It's been going on since the 80s.
Well, we're going to have to look that up. Well, thank you for calling in, Robin, with that. We do have another caller on the line. Andy, did you know anything about that black site of ours, or have you heard of any others that are here in the United States?
Well, this was a site where the Chicago police were.
Yes, they are holding,
people.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I have heard about that. I mean, specifically in connection with the war on terror, of course, there were, you know, there was one U.S. citizen and two U.S. legal residents who were held on the U.S. mainland in military brigs incommunicado and subjected to torture.
And so that is...
And so
yeah.
Jose Padilla is the name that should be on the lips of every American who fears for what the U.S. government could do to U.S. citizens if they put their mind to it.
Right, remind people Padilla had his brain basically scrambled. He could not maintain a coherency after...
Yeah, I mean, they isolated these people horrendously. You know, eventually they were allowed access to lawyers, but, you know, the damage had already been done. And in all the cases when pushed legally, the government backed down on trying to defend holding them endlessly without charge or trial and put them into the federal court system. But it's a worrying. These are worrying cases for people, you know, who've been following the rhetoric of Donald Trump since he
very worrying.
Became president in January, because he said he wants to send people to Guantanamo and would like that to include Americans. But he, you know, he can't do that.
Okay,
he could send new people to Guantanamo, but he can't send Americans to Guantanamo because he's not legally allowed to.
I think, Andy, I did bring up that here in Portland at a demonstration against ICE, they did hood and put muffled headphones on four of the activists that they were trying to uncouple from tubes they were holding together to stay in place. And they made up a lie about why they did it, which was really funny. Hey, we do have two more callers, and we have very little time, so let's go to Bill. I think we have Bill on the line.
Yes, I just wanted to say something interesting about how we form opinion. And one thing that our media does not do is take into account that most of the information that's being given to us is provided by the individuals who want to, I guess, cover up their position or not allow their true position to come out. So it's kind of interesting that what we're really talking about is an ongoing marketing campaign by government to shape our opinions to justify allowing them to get away with the things that they're doing. And it's not new. They've done it to the Black Panthers. They've done it to, the Vietnam, anyone who they could target. And so I think really the hardest thing here as a responsible person is saying, where can we get information that somehow isn't, I guess, diluted as a whole, that doesn't even allow us to really form opinions and rather forces us to operate on fear. So we allow regimes or whoever they may be to protect us from this unknown thing.
Well, Bill, I really think you're making a very good and important point. I know that one fact that might feed into this is I call us the most well-propagandized population in the world, but of course I don't live elsewhere, so I don't know if that's true. But just add in all of the pro-military, pro-intelligence, pro-special forces TV shows that are on right now, and that'll give you an idea of how much this marketing of we must be protected from terrorists by giving up our rights is being shown. So thank you. And Andy, did you want to say anything to Bill?
Yeah, well, no, I think Bill makes a very good point. And, you know, the fact is that there are a significant number of voices. I'm just one of them out there. I mean, Linda, I've got an archive of thousands of articles online about Guantanamo. But, of course, you know, we live in a very atomized and fragmented world. Social media, I think, is making that worse. And I think algorithms and the manipulation of audiences online, which is becoming a bigger and bigger story, means that people aren't being directed to things that would help them with this.
Which is very insidious, because when you're looking at your social media, you're not thinking I'm being propagandized to, except they're doing so much advertising on it. One message for you from someone you know, one sponsored message.
And, there are media that people can trust, just not in the mainstream media, just not enough of them. So, if you look carefully, then on some topics you will find good reporting in the New York Times and the Washington Post.
And Intercept. And
have good coverage on broadcast TV. But, so much of what people are fed, and particularly through broadcast TV, I think, is really unhelpful. I mean, the power that Fox News has, for example.
Yes, I agree with you. I think it's interesting even that we find Bill Riley might actually get put on air again. There's a group called Sinclair that has its own cable, and there's word that they're in talks to have him be with their media, which would be a whole new channel. So yes, we're being very well propagandized, and that's making a huge difference. Andy, I'm so sorry. We are out of time. We had one more caller, and I'm sorry to you, caller, for getting in. And I'll just apologize to everyone on air. It was my error. I wrote him the right date and the right show, but I wrote him the wrong time. And so Andy was ready before, actually. He would be coming on right now if he had followed my instructions, which he was doing. Thank you again, Andy Worthington.
Well, hopefully we will get to talk again in the not-too-distant future, Lynn.
Yeah, because there's a whole lot more around this discussion that we didn't get to, and obviously the audience was waking up to it and wanting to talk about it as well. So thank you so much for coming on KABU today.
As you know, I'm always happy to talk to you.
All right. And thank you, audience, for listening and tuning in. Please tune in next week to Positively Revolting. I'll have you a guest and a great conversation. Last British man in Guantanamo. Stuck in a cell alone. Though the U.S. says it wants to let him go.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Decolonizing Our Activism Workshop, Saturday, October 28th at the Native American Youth and Family Center in Portland. The Decolonizing Our Activism Workshop welcomes all to attend this free life-changing training, which incorporates traditional Native American teachings through stories, exercises, and discussions that are even more relevant and needed today. These workshops are conducted in a respectful way that is both healing and empowering. Again, that is Decolonizing Our Activism Workshop on Saturday, October 28th, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. at the Native American Youth and Family Center, 5135 Northeast Columbia Boulevard, Portland, Oregon. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KABU Community Radio is proud to present David Barsamian, Resistance in the Age of Trump, on Sunday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Journalist, author, and activist David Barsamian will be speaking about the broad coalition in opposition